Hey y'all, and welcome back to another episode of Faith and Friends. I am so glad you're here. My stars, today we are having a very special conversation with two people that have inspired my personal life, more than they'll ever know. If we've been friends for a little bit, you know how my mornings begin. My morning starts off with a coffee date with Jesus, opening God's word, and praying in my closet. This was inspired by the Kendrick Brothers film, War Room. And today, we get to hear from the Kendrick Brothers, and I am so excited for you to meet our new friends in the faith. If you've ever seen the films Courageous, Overcomer, Fireproof, Show Me the Father, or Facing the Giants, Alex and Stephen Kendrick write, direct, and produce these incredible pictures that are laced with themes of redemption that leave you facing the heart of Jesus. Today, we get to celebrate the release of their newest film, Life Mark, with Kirk Cameron, that is actually out in theaters everywhere today. In this episode, we chat about the heart behind this film, some special moments on set, and even a little backstory of the Kendrick Brothers' upbringing. I am so grateful for their ministry, and I pray you enjoy today's episode. All right, let's dive right in. Alex, Stephen, thank you so much for joining us on Faith and Friends today.
Good to be with you.
Our pleasure.
Oh, this is going to be a great time. Today we are celebrating your newest film, Life Mark. It actually releases today, September 9th. This is an incredible film. I seriously was booing and hooing, but then I was also laughing a lot. And I'm just so grateful. And I really want to get out of the way and let y'all share all the things. But I just want to say thank you. This film, for such a time as this, it just doesn't happen. It doesn't just happen. A lot of prayer went into this, and it's so evident because of the timing that, it's just amazing. So why this film? Why this message?
So we had finished our movie Overcomer in 2019. Kirk Cameron gives us a call and says, guys, I'm just watching this 30-minute documentary that's grabbed my heart. It's a true story. The documentary itself was called I Lived on Parker Avenue. Kirk said, I'm in a puddle of tears here. This thing is incredible. This 18-year-old girl that rolls off the abortion table at the last second and places her baby for adoption, then gets to meet him when he turns 18 himself. Mm-hmm. And she said, I thought he would hate me. And he wrapped me up and just said, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you for letting me be adopted. I love my family. And I just wanted to say thank you to you. She just melts. And she says, I didn't know that you would feel this way about me. And so it's a beautiful story. And some twists happen. Some beautiful twists happen during this process. So Kirk says, guys, this has got to be a feature film. We prayed about it, agreed. Mm-hmm. So we shot this movie. It's called Life Mark. So the feature film version of this is Life Mark, comes out today, September 9th. Mm-hmm. And it'll be in theaters for at least a week. If people support it, they'll extend it to more weeks. But we can't wait, because we had no idea during this time Roe versus Wade would be overturned. We want to challenge and encourage the church to jump in with love and compassion and be ready to minister, to encourage choosing life, to encourage adoption, and to help provide those routes. So Life Mark has an open ministry platform. And so we can't wait to share it. And I can't wait to see what God does with it.
Me too. Me too. It's just so exciting. And so y'all, we got to support this film so we can at least have it in there. I'm just hoping a month. My gosh, just flood the box office. Keep it in there next to all these other films out there. This is what needs to be shared. And this movie is pro-family, pro-life, pro-reconciliation, and pro-forgiveness. It's so incredible. What is your prayer for these families that come into this film, maybe having no idea what it's about, but just wanted to come and support y'all? They've liked some other things that you've made. And what do you hope they leave the theater with?
Well, we pray with every one of our films that people have an encounter with God, that the Holy Spirit speaks to their hearts while they're eating their popcorn and enjoying the movie. And yes, being entertained and laughing and tearing up and being caught up in a storyline with the twists and turns, but that ultimately that they experience the Lord speaking to their hearts about their journey, about their friends, their influence around them. We tell people that when you're on your deathbed, you're not going to care anymore about how many likes you have on Facebook or how much money you have in the bank. You're going to be thinking about where you stand with God and where you stand with the people that you love the most. Yeah. And so our films focus in on those priorities. We want people to grow in their faith as a result of watching a film, fall more in love with the Lord, and then for them to have reconciled, healed, strong relationships with their spouse if they're married, with their kids if they're a parent, with their friends, their coworkers, their own parents, whatever. And so this movie shows love and compassion on display through the lens of a girl who's in an unwanted crisis pregnancy and doesn't know what to do. It shows compassion for the unborn because of this courageous decision that she makes against all odds. It shows compassion for these parents that had lost two children in infancy and long for a child of their own and are able to adopt this young man, David, and watch him grow up. And he's the joy of their life. And then later on, to show compassion for a mom who thinks he hates her guts and has dealt with the heaviness, and the biological father as well, and to see him step into that space and be an instrument of healing in both of their lives, and to thank them for choosing life when everything was against them back when they were young. Because this movie is a true story, you can't really argue with it at all. You know, it's not a political movie. It's just a true story that's very inspirational. So we love it because we had no idea that Roe v. Wade was about to be overturned. When the Lord told us to make this film, we were doing it by faith in obedience to his leadership. And now it's been mind-blowing that this fight that has been taking place at the Supreme Court since 1973 has been dropped down to the state level and the local level. And now you've got these leaders and you've got pastors and people in communities that are trying to figure out, what do we do now and how do we respond? Well, we respond with love and compassion at every level. Mm-hmm. We respond with love and compassion for these girls that now aren't going to run to Planned Parenthood to be their savior. We show love and compassion for the the unborn child in their womb that needs somebody to speak up for them. You know, we need to show compassion for these people in our communities who can't have children or feel led to adopt, you know, or even women that have had abortions in the past and they're bearing the weight and the guilt of that. And it's haunting them. We even have at the end of this film in the theaters, someone talking about how Christ brought healing to her life after she had an abortion. Mm-hmm. So the gospel's presented even in the closing credits of this film. We're hoping this will be a tool of inspiration and healing and hope for the church and for families and for leaders, you know, that are trying to vote at their state level. And hopefully it'll even go, you know, to other countries as well.
Hallelujah. Let's go. I'm so excited. That gets me fired up because here's the deal. I'm so passionate about the film and everything entertainment industry because someone may never walk into a church. And you know, our lives may be the only Bible someone reads, but you can invite them to the theater and they would love to share a good medium-sized popcorn and maybe a Sprite, you know? And so it's just so sweet that it can present the gospel through the back door and hug around our generation and say, hey, we see you. We love you. And this film is an abundant film. That's, you know, the reason why Jesus came was for abundant life. And it's not just a story of, you know, a sweet girl that decided to choose life. It's that extra mile of that forgiveness and that reconciliation. And it just goes to show, like, man, we are all hurting and we all need someone to extend a hand and say, you are forgiven and you are loved, just as Christ has done for us. And so I am just all about this. And I'm just so grateful for your obedience. And it is going to be blessed. And it has already blessed my life. And so I'm just so, so grateful. And adoption touches us all in some way. And so I would love to hear how adoption has reached y'all's families.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm going to start with this. When Kirk called us, it first grabbed his heart because Kirk's six children, four of those are adopted, and they were heading in a direction where abortion could have taken their four lives, but Kirk was so grateful that the mother considered adoption. So Kirk adopted four of his six children. Kirk's wife is also adopted, Chelsea. Wow. And so it was close to their heart. And then Stephen, he's going to tell you a little bit of his story. Stephen adopted his daughter, Mia. So I have six children. He has six, one of them being Mia. It's beautiful adopted daughter that we all love. So,
yeah. So in the movie, Show Me the Father, we kind of share Mia's story about how God led us to adopt. But just that whole journey of having biological children, and I supported adoption, you know, from a distance, you know, cheering other families that couldn't have kids or they felt led to adopt. I didn't think it was for me necessarily. We had healthy, happy biological kids at home, but God turned my heart. I mean, it really blew my mind, turned my wife's heart as well, and led us to adopt this baby girl from China. And back in 2013, when we adopted her, we just saw a miracle take place. We saw God give us the same love for her that he has given for our biological kids. We saw God orchestrate the details of her adoption, that the same day God spoke to me on an airplane about adopting was, we found out the same day she was being born in China. Wow. And so her heart condition, all of these other issues that the world would have used as an excuse for her to be aborted, God used for good in her life that caused that special need for her to be put really in an orphanage in China. And then we were able to be a part of the heart surgeries and watch the journey of God, you know, really providing everything she needs. And now she is a bright sunshine in our home. Just hugged her a few minutes ago at lunch. And she knows she's loved. She just gave her life to Christ recently. Oh. And just in the last month has gone on a mission trip and has shared the gospel now with other people and talking about what Christ can do for them. So it's amazing how God can take this broken world that we're in, yeah, and horrible, you know, panic, fearful kind of situations and turn it around for good, where he gets the glory and we get blessed in the process. So I'm a big fan now of adoption. And I think James 1:27, which talks about pure religion before God, is to take care of the most vulnerable people in your communities, which are the widows and the orphans, yeah, and the fatherless. So the church can shine in cities and in communities by showing compassion for the weakest among them. You know, the world's mentality is evolutionary, atheistic, which says the strong need to prey upon the weak. But the Christianity, the strong die for the weak. The strong lay down their lives for the weak, which is what Jesus did for us. The strongest shedding his blood for us in our weakness on the cross. And now he's calling us to lay down our lives for the other people around us. And it really is a beautiful picture of the gospel when believers rise up with compassion and they get intentional and they put feet to it by being practical and reaching those that are hurting and in need in our communities.
That's beautiful. That was what the film left me with. And it's like, I know I'm 23 and single and not into that season yet, but my gosh, what I said to myself was, is I can't wait. I can't wait to be able to adopt. And it's just so exciting. But take me back. This is not your first film. It is the first film that is based on a true story. Was that different, like, than making a movie like War Room?
You know, all of our films, while we did write them, and you could say that they're fiction, we are inspired by what God's really doing in our lives and the lives of those around us. So even Facing the Giants, we were inspired by a revival at our Christian school and dedicating things to the Lord, determining to honor God, whether we win or lose. And so we worked those things into Facing the Giants because we had watched them happen in real life. Mm-hmm. And so we are inspired by true things, even though we technically write our stories. Well, in this case, in Life Mark, this is a true story. And so people can watch the short documentary, I Lived on Parker Avenue. It's only 30 minutes. It's on YouTube. It's free. And you can see the basis of this story, following the real life decisions and the meeting of this biological mother and her 18-year-old son now. And it was incredible to see how the Lord worked through all of those things. So for us, it was the right story to tell. It's a true story. And we felt like the Lord was saying, do it now.
Yeah.
Having no idea that Roe versus Wade would be overturned the same year we're ready to release it. Wow. And so we're saying, God, you do whatever you want to do. Mm-hmm. We dedicate each of our productions to the Lord, asking him to guide and to use them for his glory. And so, again, the more people we can touch, the more people we can draw to a relationship with the Lord and to offering hope and compassion and the fruit of the Spirit to other people, that's a win for us. Mm-hmm. Over anything else, over status and awards, et cetera, et cetera. So we hope this movie touches a lot of people. And again, we can't wait to see what God does with it.
I'm so excited to be at the front row seat to see what the Lord does. And so did y'all always want to make films? Were you, you know, 5, 6, 7 years old saying this is what we're going to do? I see the nodding of the heads. Yes. Okay. Tell me more.
Well, we grew up and actually did not get saturated with entertainment. For years, when we were kids, we didn't even have a television. And I remember it was a big deal when we got our first video game system. Mm-hmm. Was that
Atari?
And then we got a video camera. So we would run around our neighborhood filming little movies. You know, they're all action movies or comedy movies. And we learned how to edit between our VCR and our camcorder. And by the time we got older, committed our lives to the Lord, got communication degrees in college, then went on to seminary, the Lord turned our hearts toward use this for me. And so we started praying, God, what do you want us to do? What stories would you like us to tell? And we ended up making a little movie called Flywheel, low budget, $20,000, all volunteer cast. And we made it for our community and one theater. And the Lord just expanded that beyond our wildest dreams, sold over 1 million DVDs. And, and the audience, you know, was huge. We made our second movie asking God, what do you want us to do? Mm-hmm. He said, make one about faith over fear. And so we made Facing the Giants, which was inspired by true things that had happened around us in our community. And Sony picked it up, and as they did with Fireproof and Courageous and War Room. So we said, Lord, your ideas are better than our ideas. You know, there's a difference between a good idea and a God idea. Mm-hmm. So we said, God, we want your ideas. And so we've learned to just follow his lead and let him get the credit. And so we do work hard on them. But at the end of the day, we can make a movie, but the Lord is who touches the heart. And so we give him credit. And again, want to use these stories to influence as many as possible.
That's so good. It truly is the word of the testimony. And this is just that with Life Mark. And it's filled with it all. And I don't want to say too much. I want them to go to the box office. Come on. But the action in this film was so fun. I loved it. How was doing the four-wheeler scene and, you know, jumping from the sky? Was that all like real?
Some of it was. Alex actually rode on the ATV. And we had a little mishap on set when he hit the camera truck. And so he had to get bandaged up after that. But he was really riding on that stuff. They were really throwing knives. There's a wrestling scene of the actor who had not wrestled in real life, but he got trained real fast for the role. The skydiving.
Cliff jumping and skydiving. Yeah,
that's right. Yeah. And the real David Scott did all those things. And he went skydiving with his biological mom right after he met her. And so we're following that real story because it really happened. And with the skydiving, we had to do a combination of studio work, green screen, hanging actors from cranes, in addition to stuntmen. It was just, you got to do a lot to make it look simple a lot of times. We also have some special effects in this movie that we've never had before. Were these flashback sequences in the film. You see people 20 years younger. And so you see Kirk Cameron look like he did when we shot Fireproof, you know, and
we de-aged them 20 years.
Yeah. I love that.
It works. It's really cool how really the Lord provided the way for us to do that. It's two different softwares that are used to train a computer to change someone's face to make them look 20 years younger. And we were amazed at how good it looked because we were thinking, is this going to be cheesy or dumb? And you totally buy it when you watch the film.
You totally buy it. It looks so real. And I love the flashbacks. I feel like that really just takes it another layer deeper. And then by the end where you're kind of piecing those flashbacks all together and kind of wrapping it up. Oh gosh, I was just a puddle. My gosh, I can imagine Kirk was too. Were y'all a puddle when you watched the 30-minute documentary for the first time?
Yes, man, it grabbed our hearts instantly. And we said, this is so powerful. And you know what? It's hard to argue with a true story.
True.
And so we said, let's just tell this story as it happened. And so Kirk jumped in. We contacted the real families and got to know them. And they said, let's do this. And so we, you know, we got Melissa Coles, the real biological mother. She visited us on set with her husband.
Yeah, tell them about that one scene. That they're in the scene.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So, and then David Scott and his parents. So the real people are in the movie. And so... So you've seen the movie, correct?
Yes.
In the scene where the baby is brought out to Kirk's character and his movie wife, the nurse bringing the baby out is the real Melissa. And then the lawyer standing opposite her is David, the real David. And so who's now in his 20s now, just got married, and he's a practicing attorney in New Orleans. So we got the real people to be in that scene. And that was so cool to have them on set. And so, and then of course the real families, the Scotton family and the Coles family were there. And again, it was an awesome blessing to have them on set and even say, this is the way I did this. This is what I said in this scene. And we were able to incorporate so much of that into the movie.
That's incredible. Was there ever a moment that during the taping was just overwhelmingly emotional with like, this was real. This really happened.
I would say the abortion clinic scene when the young Melissa goes in, is sitting on the table. She's terrified. She's about to have an abortion. When we were filming that scene, the real Melissa Coles was on set with the earphones, watching it, like crying, choking up, and talking about her experience, because she said, this is exactly like it was. This is exactly how I felt. That's, you know, that was what was going on in my heart. And when we were done filming, Marissa Hampton, who plays the young Melissa in the movie, gets off of that table because she's emotional and distraught, you know, in her character in that scene. And when she's done, she walks out and the real Melissa embraces her and they're holding each other, thanking her. You know, it was just it was a powerful moment where we're watching the real Melissa comforting the actress Melissa, who just had to portray her in a very traumatic, you know, moment, you know, this in the movie. But this movie doesn't show an abortion. It actually shows someone not having an abortion.
Praise God, so, right.
But the emotions and the intensity of that moment, you totally feel in your gut when you're watching her wrestle through that decision. So we're hoping when people watch it, they'll realize this. We tried to make this very believable, very realistic, because it is based on a true story. But be open to God using you to share this film with someone else, because there may be people you know who one day they're going to be in that situation. Right now, they're thinking, I don't need this film. But whether it's adoption or there's a girl in an unwanted pregnancy who's in a crisis and considering abortion, I'm hoping this movie will plant seeds in the next generation and they decide beforehand that I'm not going to do that. You know, if I ever were to get pregnant, I'm going to choose adoption, because I see how beautiful it can be. And I can see that this is what could play out to everyone's advantage long term if I'll trust God, even in the midst of my fear and panic.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And in that scene, it was so emotional. I was quite shocked that the doctor just got up. Did that actually just happen in real life?
Yeah, we really? Did it exactly. Yes, exactly as Melissa describes it. So we didn't have to create anything there. When she said this is exactly how it went, that's the way we filmed it. So much of the movie, we tried to get as accurately as possible. Now, it's hard to do to perfection because you have to still make it fit in a movie. Mm-hmm. But yeah, all that particular scene, I remember it was exactly as she said. Yeah, I don't remember changing anything at all.
Wow. That blows my mind. I was like so disheartened, but at the same time, I was kind of glad that the doctor didn't stop her and say, oh no, we're going through this with this. You're already here. You know, that's crazy.
That's right. That's exactly right.
Oh, I'm so excited. Thank you so much for spending a little bit of your time with us today. And y'all, if you haven't seen any of the Kendrick Brothers films, y'all are missing out. Like, they're incredible. Courageous makes me cry every time. Y'all have a theme. You like to make me cry, but in the best way. But I thank you. It's very healing.
Let me tell you what it is, okay? And people don't recognize this, but scripture talks about the difference between living by the law, which means you're earning something and by your performance, and receiving grace, which is undeserved. And when kindness is love is demonstrated to the undeserved, you know, it blows our minds. When somebody does something for you that you know you don't deserve, but you really, really need, and it helps you, it moves your heart. And so when Jesus told parables, and he's talking about the prodigal coming home, and he deserves judgment and to be a servant in his dad's house, and the father shows him grace and runs off the porch and hugs his son and says, take my best robe and put it on my son, we're just undone by that goodness, you know?
Yeah.
The world doesn't show grace, though. The world shows You got to earn it or you don't get it. They show the harsh reality of the darkness of the world. But in Christ, it says the law came through Moses and grace came through Jesus Christ. In Christ, believers are called to go the extra mile and to give people forgiveness they don't deserve, kindness they don't deserve, service they don't deserve, love they don't deserve. So in all of our films, if you think about it, it's when grace is demonstrated in the film. Mm-hmm. It's when the father in Facing the Giants pulls himself up on the fence and lifts his arms and says, "Don't touch me. I'm standing for my son." Yeah. You know, it is in War Room when he realizes he's not going to go to jail and his boss could have turned him in. And Priscilla Shire's character turns and she says, "That was grace," you know, yeah. And they're crying. They're so moved at that moment, you know. So when goodness is modeled and grace is demonstrated, which if you think about in Life, Mark, the conversation he has with his biological mom on that couch mm-hmm. is so emotional, but they're demonstrating grace towards one another. Mm-hmm. And so in Fireproof, when Kirk Cameron's on his knees and he's apologizing to his wife and people cry in that scene because grace is being shown. So I think that the body of Christ, we ought to be making the best films in the world that touch hearts. The deepest, because we have truth the world doesn't have. We've got love and grace and strength the world doesn't have. And so may God continue to bless these efforts.
Yes, you're right. You're right. We have all we need. We it just starts with a seed. And that is what these films do. And I'm just, oh, you're right. It is all grace through faith. Praise God. Y'all, this smile is going to start hurting. I'm just so happy. Oh, thank you so much. Where can we hear more about this film? Is there a website with all more information further than the film?
There is. You can go to lifemarkmovie.com, lifemarkmovie.com, and see the trailer clip, see who's in the movie, find a theater near you. Just type in your zip code and it'll tell you all the theaters near you. You can buy tickets on it. You can get resources. If you say, hey, there's someone that's considering adoption, they can go to that site and see the connections to the adoption ministries for healing. If you say, I'm really working through a decision I made in the past, you know, so we want to help as much as we can. So go to lifemarkmovie.com and just peruse the site and hopefully grab your ticket now. And we encourage people to check it out and see what the Lord does.
Perfect. Y'all heard that. You better get on it. You got that smartphone in your hand, just type that right into your search engine. Well, Alex, Stephen, thank you seriously so much. And I'm so excited. Thank you so much for making this film.
Great to talk to you.
Yeah, great to talk to you. God bless you and your podcast, Georgia.
Friend, you now have weekend plans. Grab the family, a few friends, and butter the popcorn. It's time to head to the movies and support this film. I pray today's episode showed you the heart behind the screen and scenes the Kendrick brothers make in partnership with the Lord. They are the real deal. I loved when they said, "It's hard to argue with the truth." Ain't that the truth? Do you have a favorite moment or a favorite movie of the Kendrick brothers? I would love to hear from you. You can leave us a 5-star review here or send me a message on Instagram at @IamGeorgiaBrown. I cannot wait to see you next week. Make sure you're subscribed so you don't miss out on all the Faith and Friends fun. But until next week, do not forget, there is a song on your heart. Only you can sing. Your voice is important. Bye!